Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
One or two or three or more or seven or eight or ten, Lenore.
We had some fun ones.
We had some fun ones. We did. Yeah.
Lenore Dove. This book will make you be like, yeah, Dove's a totally normal color.
Tell her from me she's my hero.
Tell her from me she's my hero. Can't wait to get back to that one. All right. Someone put low power mode on this thing, and I hate it.
Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Big Jelly, a.k.a. Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother, the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. How is it going on this fine, kind of gray Tuesday?
I'm not going to lie, man. I'm feeling pretty silly today.
Pretty silly today?
I feel like I got the silliness in my pants, you know? Oh,
you got some silly pants on?
Some silly pants!
Boy. That's what you want to hear. That's like, can you imagine that being like your opening line on a date? Like, I'm feeling pretty silly in my pants, man.
Like,
and
on.
All right, I'll see you later.
Actually, now I'm sweating. Let me back up.
Sorry, I heard how that sounded. What I meant was, I feel like I'm wearing silly pants. No.
They're jeans. Okay, they're jeans. Let me try again. I feel like I want to be silly tonight. No. That sounds worse too.
I'm in a silly mood. Nailed it.
Silly seems fine.
What's your name?
Bridget. Cool.
Cool.
Why would it be Bridget?
Well, you came up with it.
I know. It's a good point. I wonder what like deep recesses of my brain. What if Carp Girls?
I literally went there too. I was like, what if Carp Girl's name is Bridget?
Wow. Oh man, it would be so unexpected. My wife, Alice, now for the rest of her life, is going to be like somebody's like, walk up, like, hi, I'm Bridget. But like, get out. You have no business being here.
You don't know. Yeah. Get out.
Yeah. I think the thrill of meeting Carp Girl, I think, would be so, I think it would throw Alice off. I think that she would be like, you're too excited to see this person. And I'm like, you don't understand.
You don't understand. Go listen to 280 episodes of The Pop and then come back and complain if you think you can.
Because I think at that point in time, you'll have forgotten all about this conversation because it's like 280 hours.
Yeah.
And that's like at least, like, you know, like, I don't know. 10 full days.
Yeah, plus
if you don't sleep at all.
Just the absolute context of having finally found Carp Girl, aka Bridget, I guess.
AKA Bridget possibly.
Yeah.
We're like, Hi. Wow. Will you come on my podcast? Hold on, I have more questions.
Yeah.
Will you meet everybody who listens to my podcast? I have more questions.
Even if you met her, would we have a way to prove that it was her? Could we like confirm?
Would there be a way, you could
meet any given little colonel on the street who was like waiting for their moment to be like, oh my God, Ben, I heard your podcast and like I was the girl, and you would have no way of knowing.
I would have a way of knowing.
You would have a way?
I would ask the following question. I would say,
are you going to give it away though?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I would say that Mr. Peters, probably not Peters, but yeah. I don't remember. So. You know, we're there.
Okay.
Handed us 1 pound of a substance.
Ah.
It was an unusual substance to hold 1 pound of.
Okay.
What was it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Got it. So you have like a way to check.
I have a way to check.
Excellent.
Yeah. Unless this person is exceptionally good at guessing.
Well, I mean, hey, at that point, maybe they've just earned the right to be Carp Girl.
I mean, we're all Carp Girl a little bit, aren't we?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, I guess.
Anyway, what else is going on with you, man?
Well, Ben, I had Luke, my son, had a life-changing experience over the weekend.
Did he really?
I mean, maybe.
I mean, Tell me more, because this sounds urgent.
I mean, so we were at one of my friend's house. There was like a dads and kids and pancakes sort of breakfast situation going on.
Sounds delightful.
I know, right? And they've got like, they like their house is like next to a creek, and there's woods, and there's big open areas. And I'm always like, man, this is good. I wouldn't mind this. But then if you talk to him about it, he's like, oh, but like when it snows, I couldn't get my car. I had to walk like half a mile to the house every day. I was like, that is bad. Okay.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's not high on the list of things. Does he drive like a regular car?
No, he has like a truck and stuff.
Like, he has like a truck and stuff. He still had to walk.
I mean,
sounds
I
like
guess
he was
so.
Doing it wrong. I mean, if it was me, I'd throw right into 4 Low, stomp on that pedal. Yeah.
There we go.
When I walked in to record today's episodes of The Pop, I looked at the team and I said, I've just yeed my last haul.
Well, you were wrong, Ben. Unless you just hauled that yee, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah. Ethan was like, I doubt that. And
okay.
So anyway, full circle, I have not yeed my last haul.
Well, anyway, we're at there and like I'm just out front talking to the dads, doing that part of it. And Luke is round back. And I suppose he was playing with two other kids and had like separated himself to go find something somewhere. But as he is
like potentially like a pine cone.
Yeah, maybe like a pine cone or looking for treasure as kids do. I don't know. I wasn't there.
A potentially really unique looking stick.
Maybe. Okay, yeah. Okay. Luke will come back with all sorts of things that have become precious to him.
I like this.
So you never know what it's going to be. And he certainly didn't know what he was going to stumble across, which was a living wild snake in the grass.
Oh, no way.
I know. Not like a dangerous snake, like a green, you know,
like
garter snake or
garter
whatever.
Snake. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Now, he saw it, and of course, and his, like, it was one of those things where I think he, like, was looking, and all of a sudden he realized what it was, and upon realizing it was, like, every instinct in his brain was like, get as far away from this thing as possible.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I understand that. So
yes.
Was he was terrified.
So he was terrified. I mean, he came running around the side of the house, and I guess whatever game they'd been playing, they decided they were all going to just go shirtless for it. So
I mean, you know,
yeah. I mean, yeah, I know. I was just like watching them run around. I'm like, this is just the most little boy thing I've ever seen. Like, we've just decided we're taking our shirts off and we're going to continue the game because whatever we're doing requires this.
A proud game of shirts and skins.
Yes, but I mean, he turned and promptly just trips into the ground, has a huge, like, huge scratch across his chest as he flees the snake in the grass, and it just comes flying at 100 miles an hour around the side of the house in full, like, oh my god, I saw a snake, what happened, I'm, you know, like, my life will never be the same.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that he fell, too. I mean, that's something clean out of a nightmare.
Oh, I know. And then, you know, then I got to go clean him up. And, I mean, it, like, I like, this is also a kid who has, like, you know, we've been to the zoo. We've seen way bigger snakes.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, he's touched big snakes before.
Right.
But, like, he even wears like, you know, like we have like Slytherin pajamas, you know,
right?
He has snake stuffed animals, but like the difference in his brain between those snakes being like pets versus this being a wild snake was like very obvious to him in real time. And I mean, it was just, I mean, I felt so bad for him because he was clearly just like an absolute like shock about the whole situation.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole rest of the day, and he's like, what? Like, I just, but like, I saw a snake. And you know, at some point you're sort of like, right, you saw it.
Right, like, right.
Nothing happened, right?
It was okay.
Yeah.
We got away.
We got away from it.
Unscathed.
Well, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, not emotionally, Ben.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess he was both physically and emotionally.
He was, yes, he was physically hurt by it, even though he was not bitten by the snake or anything. But then, whatever he did, obviously must have just startled the snake off or whatever.
Sure.
Because then this is like, you know, you go back over and you're like, well, snake is gone, you know?
Right.
Right, so that's that. But like, it was so, like, it was like a different, like, realm of parenting I felt that I had wandered into, which was this like total fear mode. Like even just minutes afterward, he was just like, I just wish I could go back to my life the way it was before. And you're just like before you saw the snake.
Oh no.
I know. And you're just it's like, what a sentiment, like what an instance this must have been for him, or it was like, not like having simply witnessed the creature in the wild made it feel like he was like on the other side of a new chapter of life or something.
Oh goodness. You
know, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is I don't know quite how to navigate.
It does feel like a tricky one because it feels like he's really encountered, like, no doubt he's had, like, you know, negative experiences so far, fallen down, gotten hurt. Has he been stung by a bee yet?
I don't know if he's been stung by a bee
or a burn. Burns are really bad.
I think Luke has so far avoided. Man, he burned his leg. He touched the pan or something once. It wasn't like. Didn't even like blister up or anything.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I feel like some of those early formative moments, though, it's like they do stick with you. Like I have like an instance from kindergarten where I remember we were all out on the playground at our elementary school, and we were all just out in the field kicking like a soccer ball around or whatever, and there was a praying mantis that was just like out in the field, and this kid Justin walked over and he kicked the praying mantis and it landed on my shoulder.
Whoa.
I know. And it was like, I think I held it against him for like years.
Yeah.
As if this was like an intentional act of like,
you kicked a praying mantis on me.
Yes. 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 Like, I mean, it was just like, it's like, if you've never seen a praying mantis, it's like they're large,
they're
insects.
Big insects. Yeah.
You know, it's a big thing to just all of a sudden have like standing on your shoulder.
Yeah,
it threw me a little bit. Yeah, I think I even remember he came to one of my best friend's birthday parties like 4 years later, and I like almost had to like pull my friend aside and be like, "Listen, you don't understand. He kicked a praying mantis on me when we were in kindergarten.
Like that guy is dead to me.
Right? It's like I don't know.
And if you hang around with him, he might kick a bug on you too.
He might do that. He might. And do you want that to happen to
That's
you?
That's just the kind of person he is. Okay. Right.
Poor Justin.
Poor Justin.
Guy's just out there in the world that he's like, I didn't even mean to.
I didn't even do it, man. It was just like there was a big bug.
I bet he was scared of it in the first place, too.
Probably.
It was like kicked it to like make it go away.
Right.
But yeah, no. So snakes I do feel like can spook you, though. They also have like that like I worked at Petland and I handled a whole lot of snakes. I've sold a whole lot of snakes in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and there was something about like snakes that I took like out of a tank, like where I knew the breed's demeanor or like sort of like how to handle them or like whether or not the bite was like going to be dangerous in the event that they did bite you. Cause like little like corn snakes, for example, will oftentimes like sort of like take like jabs at you, but nothing will happen.
Nothing happens.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, you could take those out and handle them and it might be like mildly startling, but you're also very quickly aware of the fact that like, it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
And you can just kind of move past it. But I would say that like whenever I've debated on going out and like living on like a major chunk of land, like I think it's probably been like 2 or 3 months now since I talked about it on the pop, but Alice and I looked at like a 53 acre lot of land that came with like a house. And like one of the things that like while I was out there and I kept thinking about it was like at some point, one of the dogs or me or Addison or someone is going to have a run-in with a snake.
Oh yeah, like, for sure.
You know, it's like if you live out there, it's like they are there.
They're there. Yeah. You know, it's like snakes exist.
Right. Like it's eventually it's going to be a part of like what you have to do. So like it's almost like one of those things that I feel like even as I like mentally prepare for a world where I live in such a circumstance, I'm almost like, Ben, you got to go just like pick up a wild snake off the ground. You got to do it. You got to build that confidence. You got to know how to like grab them right behind the head. And I'm not encouraging anybody to go do this.
Right.
But I feel like if I could have that sense of comfort, it reminds me, you know what it reminds me of?
Yeah.
Here's what it reminds
what
me of.
What does it remind you of?
When I was a kid, it was like dad really liked fishing.
Mm.
And one of the things that I felt like was like a big barrier to going like and just casting the line by yourself was you really wanted to catch something. But if dad wasn't nearby to like take it off the hook for you,
yeah,
then you had to be able to take it off the hook. So
I know. Like you have to now be touching this wild animal.
Yes.
In the mouth.
Yeah. 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 And it's like, and I think I even remember one particular occasion where I caught a perch in Vermont and I was going to take it off and a crawdad crawled out of its gills. And I was like, yeah!
Whoa, that'll do it.
That's not good.
That'll do it.
Which was also fine. I've since handled a lot of crawdads and I feel more comfortable with them. But at the time, it scared me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, then like when I like finally finally broke through and I could take the fish off the line by myself, it was like, now I love fishing. This is so much fun.
There you go.
You know, no more barrier.
So then you think you'd just love running into snakes?
No, yeah. No. I don't think I would love running into them, but I think I would know how to handle it if and when I inevitably
right, like, oh, yeah, here, I know what to do now.
It's like, all right, everybody, stand back. I'm going to grab it behind its head, and then I'm going to hold it up and be like, all right, now who wants to touch it?
Yeah. Oh, just kidding.
I'll go put it away. Safely over here.
Yeah.
Like, that little guy, he's not harming anybody. Good for the local environment. These ones eat the bad ones. You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever encountered a wild snake?
Have I ever? Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Sure. Okay.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen them. They're out there.
Have you ever wanted to interact with them in any way?
No, not at all.
No. What kind of snake would give you the most amount of the spooks?
The most amount of the spooks?
Yeah.
Probably like a cobra.
Like a cobra.
Yeah, like a. They're not around here, yeah. Thankfully.
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 They do have those really big, like I don't even know what you would call
them.
Yeah,
like those, like, hooded cape things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
They are pretty terrifying.
They are. They look scary. Yeah, cobra. Or, like, I mean, around here, maybe like a rattlesnake, probably.
Yeah, it seems like that one could come up around here.
Yeah.
The people who hate snakes are like, please change the subject.
Please change the subject.
And I will gladly do so. Once upon a time, another wild animal I ran into, and yeah. I've told this story early on in the pop. It was a coyote.
A coyote.
We were out doing some squirrel hunting with our buddy Trey. Something I've done one time only and did not enjoy the experience. but we were there out on his family's property, and we were walking around in the cold for most of the day and saw
alone
very few squirrels. But at one point in time, I was walking down at the time what I didn't realize was a game path, which realistically is probably not a bad place to start if you're hunting, because it's where
the game has
literally like carved a path into the woods. And I looked up, and staring right back out at me was a coyote. And similar to Luke's reaction, I literally, like, while I'm holding like a shotgun, no less, I literally turn on my heel and sprint in the other direction just as fast as I possibly could.
I was like,
I don't want to be anywhere near this thing. I don't know what to do with it. And what if it attacks me? Is it going to attack me? It's probably scared of me, but it doesn't matter because I'm already like 300 yards away now.
Yeah. Take that.
Take that, coyote.
Man.
So how's Luke since then?
He seems to have recovered for sure, but there was definitely like an hour there where he's like, I'm never going outside again, ever. I'm never coming back here to this location in my life. So I think he probably will return. At some point, but
where's your mental strategy at? Like, what do you do here? Like,
I mean, you just kind of, I think my goal was first and foremost to try and focus on the actual, like, where he tripped and like cut himself on the, like, on the rocks.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Cause I had like a little first aid kit. So I was trying to just, like, you know, clean that out and put a big, you know, makeshift gauze bandage around it.
Oh, man.
And then, like, you know, it was kind of like, well, it's time to go. Let me round up the other boys and we'll load up and just get out of here. Remove him from the situation as much as possible.
Sure.
First. And then we called Nana, and she kind of talked him down a little bit, I suppose. He was like, can we just call Nana, please? And I was like, absolutely, let's do that. And, you know, she was trying to remind me, you know, snakes are, they're scary, but they're probably not dangerous. And some of them are even good, but I wouldn't want to run into one either. So that was all very good mom stuff, you know.
She's always so good.
Always so good. And then it was just kind of like, I think I was just trying to, the rest of the day, trying to like just let him know that we like understood that he had been very scared, and that it, like, despite nothing really happening other than seeing it, that like it still was a big deal to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a big thing. Like, it seems like the validation factor of like letting him know, it's like, your reaction isn't unreasonable.
Right.
But like, it's oftentimes like, it really is the fear of the unknown. Like, I think the reason that like snakes in particular scare us so much is because the way in which they move.
Because they don't have arms or legs.
Yeah.
How are they doing that?
Right. Exactly. It's so, how, hey snake, how do?
That don't seem rat.
Right. But I think that's like a lot of like what it comes down to. The way that they move is so unusual. Like, the thing I oftentimes compare it to is like, if squirrels didn't have fluffy tails,
yeah,
then it would just look like we had really big rats running on like our power lines and up our trees and things. And that would be way less comfortable.
Way worse.
Yeah. But there's something like appealing about the, you know, but like when you walk into the yard and there's a squirrel out there, you don't really have all that much concern that that squirrel might come charge you.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But realistically, most other animals feel the same way.
Oh man. I pulled up to my house, a couple weeks ago, and in my neighbor's yard were no less than like 9 deer. You know, my hated, I know.
Your hated rivals.
My hated rivals, the deer. And I was like, what had I been listening to?
I thought you were going to be like, what did I just spend the last weekend doing? Oh, yes, building a deer fence.
Building a deer fence.
These guys probably hate me.
I've been listening to the Babaverse books, and like some of the way that they interact with some of the planets is to like, you know, they're often dealing with like, or one of the planets is like this, like very Stone Age kind of civilization. And there's these like big predators and they're trying to like teach the predators not to come. Like they can't like genocide the predators or anything, but they can like teach them that like coming in this area is not safe because we live here now. And like, but they're like at the stage where they're just developing tools and stuff like that. So it was like, how can I make sure, how can I start teaching these deer that it's a bad idea to come in this particular section of the neighborhood? This was my mindset as I got out of my car and stared down the face of the enemy.
Here's what I think you do. I think you go and bust out a Darth Vader costume.
Yeah.
I think you stand out there in the pitch black of night.
Yeah.
And as soon as you see those eyes glowing in the distance, you fire up that red lightsaber like there is no tomorrow. And here's my suspicion. They won't be back.
Well, here's what I did.
Oh, you actually did something.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And you let me go on about the Darth Vader thing?
I wanted to hear what you were going to say.
Something tells me it's going to feel silly by comparison to your practical approach.
I don't know. I mean, here's my practical approach to let them know that a predator lived in this section of the neighborhood.
Oh,
was
dear.
I just charged them.
No, you didn't.
I just charged right at them. Yeah.
So you got home.
Yeah.
There are like 9 deer standing in your neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
And you ran at them.
I ran at them. Yeah.
Can't picture this.
Oh, man. They scattered.
I bet they did.
Some of them only scattered across the road as if to say like, whoo, just got to get a little bit away. And I wasn't having that.
Did you run across
the road? I ran across the road.
Did you?
I pursued.
Yes. I am so floored.
Oh,
this is the funniest thing you've ever done.
they were gone. So hopefully they learned their lesson and won't come back. Not that it matters. Now the fence is up, so we're good. But, you know, I like to you know, put the fear in them a little bit.
Okay, so please help me understand.
Yeah.
Like, imagining your... So do you remember when we were children and we would go to our next door neighbor, Mama Scott's house?
Mama Scott, yeah.
And she was our babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you know what Mama Scott did all day?
Just stare at the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
This is what it looked like to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay. Yeah.
So imagine for one moment that one Mama Scott is staring out her window when she sees her neighbor pull up, get out of the car, make laser eye contact with 9 deer.
Yeah.
And then run at them.
Run at them. Yeah. Oh, my neighbor would understand. She understood the plight of the deer last year.
Oh my, this is so funny.
Yeah.
I charged them.
Yeah. What if I got one, you know? Unlikely.
What would you do if you got one?
I knew I wouldn't get one. I just knew they'd be too afraid and just run.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I was right.
Did any of them have like antlers or anything?
I don't know that any of them had antlers.
Okay.
It would have been pretty startling if one had decided to face me down.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my thought exactly.
I know. Yeah. They didn't.
They didn't. No. Okay.
Nope.
So you're all good.
I'm all good.
Wow. Okay. So then what's the current status of the garden?
Okay. So at the moment, as you know, you helped me build like 98% of the fence out there. And so last weekend I went out and we built up the six foot portion of it is completely done. And then we have like a much tighter wire that's only 3 feet tall go around the bottom of it.
Okay.
So that the rabbits won't get there. And when me and you did it, we put up everything we bought and it only covered 2 sides of it. So I had to go out and buy like another 50 feet or another 25 feet of fencing. Oh, wow. And it turns out I had 27 feet of fence left to go. So now everything is done except 2 feet of fence, which is frustrating,
wow,
to say the least. But we are there. We are ready to go. We're ready to grow, as it were.
Yeah, this is exciting news. So you haven't bought the rototiller yet, though?
Haven't bought the rototiller yet, but I know which one I'm going to get. So,
you do? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you got a brand in mind?
It's going to be steel.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
You're going for the big guns.
I mean, it's just like, I was looking at reviews of it, and the really cool thing about this particular rototiller is that you can, like, it. Like the base model is a rototiller, but then you can buy swap out attachments that also make it an edger or a weed eater or like a sweeper, which I don't care about the sweeping necessarily, except that you can use it on snow also.
I know exactly what you're looking at, and I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so that's the one I'm gonna get.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you go.
I know.
Yeah. And you can put it in your newly organized garage.
I can put it in my newly organized garage, exactly.
Has the garage remained pristine so far?
So far, yes. And I would say it has definitely made a big difference. Like, we also put some shelves up for, like, all the kids' shoes. And then we put up a new line of hooks for the kids, like, backpacks and jackets. So now the goal is to enter the house through the garage now.
Nice.
Yes. So, and, like, they've been doing it. They, like, put their shoes on the shelf, they hang up their backpack, and that's where it is in the morning. That's very good. They've also just been out in the open garage space just doing a lot, like dribbling basketballs a lot. And I mean, I don't know how much they've been having fun doing it, but like riding scooters around.
Dude, there is nothing better. Like, I've always wanted to go to like a Lowe's after they're closed and ride a scooter or rollerblades or like, you know, that like just perfectly smooth concrete floor as far as the eye can see.
It goes and goes.
I would quite enjoy that.
Yeah, so they do that. Or that, like, we unfortunately don't have a ton of like flat ground where I live, at least paved ground anyway. But what they'll do is they'll start in the garage and they'll take off on the scooter and like veer off like halfway down the driveway into the grass. So it's like this big, like big curve. And then they'll kind of ride the grass until they just peter out, which is good because otherwise it hit the road and that'd be bad. But
that's when it becomes dangerous.
That's when it becomes very dangerous. But so they've been loving that section of it. And then the other thing, I mean, I think this is the most little boy kid thing, because we used to do it too, is what they've been really enjoying lately. It has nothing to do with the garage per se, but we've been going outside and they want me to like get my stopwatch out on my phone and do time trials as they run laps around the house, which is...
We did do that when we were kids.
Yes. So that's been super fun to just go out there. They're like so excited about just like running, you know?
That's awesome. Look at them go. Little kiddos. Man, well, speaking of the garden, only kind of like barely adjacent, but while we were out on tour, we were doing like our meet and greet before one of our shows, and somebody came through the line and they were like, I've heard you talk about the sunflowers on the Pop.
Yes.
And so they had brought you a bag of their own sunflowers from that they had like harvested from their past year's crop.
Yeah.
So you have like little kernel grade sunflowers.
Yes. Yeah.
And here in office, we have many of our own office plants.
Yes, we do.
And one of the things that I really like about the office is that they have these like big skylights in like me and your like main office area where like the Super Carlin Brothers set is, and then like the main like bullpen area where like our kitchen and like everybody else works is like this nice big open air skylight. And I don't know like why the decision finally was made after having been here for like 4 years, but we took some of our plants and we put them up into the skylight. So they're in this like really nice, like almost like greenhouse, like dome.
It does feel like a greenhouse up there. Like, it is much hotter.
It's very hot. Yeah. Yeah. I bet it's like 10 degrees warmer in the ceiling than it is on ground level. So we took one of the seeds that a little kernel gave us and we planted it and put it up in the ceiling.
Yes.
And we named it Bloomin'.
Which is a
reference to Severance in case anybody has consumed that. So like Bloomin', like, but it's spelled like Bloomin'.
Bloomin', but Bloomin' like a flower blooms.
Yeah,
you get it.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredibly clever. So digest that.
Exactly.
But yeah, we planted it and I think like maybe a full week went by and no sign of any.
I know. We were like, oh no, were these sunflower seeds duds?
Yeah. Like, we literally have like a ladder that we keep in the main area now, specifically for tending to our ceiling plants.
Yes.
Which I love.
Yeah.
You know, it means every morning I have a ritual now.
You have a reason to use a ladder every day.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. And I enjoy using a ladder.
Who doesn't?
Right. So anyway, Blumen has since popped open.
There you go. Yes.
We have broken ground.
There is growth.
And in our first indoors little kernel grade sunflower seed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
It is.
I can't wait for it to like get way bigger.
I know. I know.
We put it in a pretty tiny pot, but sunflowers get pretty big. Or we don't know. We don't know what size sunflower we're dealing with here.
That's a good point too.
You know, is this like one of those like colossal sunflowers, or is this going to be like more like 2 footer or something? You know, who's to say?
I mean, a 2 footer would be more ideal.
Yeah, that would be ideal, because otherwise we're not going to be able to keep it up there.
I know. But that's like, the other thing though that makes me think it's going to thrive is that like the ceiling up there is such ideal conditions.
Yes, I agree. It is ideal growing conditions. We also have a snake plant on the floor, which has got like flowers coming, which is apparently quite rare. Don't want to brag or anything, but our snake plant is in bloom.
It's in bloom.
Yeah.
And the little droplets coming out of it are in fact sap and not water, and you're not supposed to eat them. Mm-hmm. All the things that we researched just this very morning.
Just this morning, yeah.
We're learning a lot.
Yes.
About home plants.
About indoor plants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it makes the office a happier place.
Oh, plants for sure. Plants are great.
Also, there's a plant that we have that kind of like grows like vines, and we've always kept it like almost at floor level, but now that it's up in the ceiling, I'm like so excited for it to like grow all the way down to the ground.
Right?
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
It is. It is. That's going to be quite a drapery if it gets all the way to the ground.
Yeah. We might need to prune it at that point.
Yeah.
It could be a little bit too much. It could get in the way.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Transition?
Transition!
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Do you say data or data? Well, at my house, we say data. Anyway, it doesn't matter. For the longest time, I just thought that paying a fortune on my monthly data plan was just normal. That was until I found out about Mint Mobile and their premium wireless plans that start at just $15 a month. And the point is that all plans come with high-speed data, or data your choice, and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And y'all, we use Mint Mobile, and as you can imagine, having good connectivity is important for a very, very internet-based company. And as you may know, we've been spending a lot of time on tour lately, which means we've been combing the corners of the United States and haven't missed a beat. Sometimes I just think it's too good to be true, like a nice soft caramel or a pecan pie, or hold on, I got more. Caribbean beach, sun-dried tomato, high-speed data plan. Oh, wait, hey, it just is that last one. So no matter how you say it, don't overpay for it. Shop data plans at mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, if I've said it once, I've said it at least 13 times. I have ideas for businesses every day. Here's one of my latest goodies, a restaurant called Tipless. It's like one of those restaurants where the waiters are kind of rude to you, but instead of writing mean things on your hat and being full of zingers, it's an on-purpose bad dining experience. No matter what you order, they will bring you something else. You might have 2 spoons and no fork, and don't even think about asking for a ranch on the side. They won't forget, they just won't bring it. Anyway, Jay says he passes on that one, but for every 10 bad ideas, occasionally you will find a good one. And when that day comes, you'll want Shopify. Shopify seriously makes it easy, like brings you an extra side of ranch preemptively easy to get started with your new good business idea. We use Shopify for Carlin Bros Mercantile, and my wife and I use it for her business, Nude. And it's because it's the exact right amount of easy you asked for your eggs to be cooked. That's like an over easy or like over medium joke, or should I say yolk? That's it. I'm opening a comedy club. Y'all, upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/poppop.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ben, it says right here yeah. that you have been doing a lot of Peloton. How do you, and that maybe you've learned how calories finally work?
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to say if I've learned how calories work, but yes. So I did also get a Peloton, though. I feel like our whole family has Pelotons, and I was the last one still holding out
to cave and
to get one. And part of the reason is because, like, I've tried on numerous occasions to do the whole home gym thing. Yeah. I think that we had an entire saga comparable to your garden, endeavors with my concrete pad, where I feel like there was like a good like couple months of the pop where we were like regularly talking about the creation of my pad.
Yeah.
And it has subsequently turned into like a pergolaed area where we have like an outdoor like lounge set with chairs. And
yeah, it's a pretty cool area now. Yeah,
it is really cool.
Yeah. But however, it was intended to be a gym.
It was intended to be a gym. And it was sort of like during the pandemic era when everybody was sort of doing like home gym related things. We had like a period of time like where our gym actually had to close, obviously, because of the pandemic. And it's like, it was weird because I think like during that period of time, it was so easy to think like the home gym trope. It was like, okay, you could break it though, because we're always at home.
Right.
Like, so now I have lots more time than I usually have. I really can't go anywhere else. I still want to exercise.
Yeah.
Like, can do. And then there was like a whole thing that happened where like, workout equipment was being so gobbled up so quickly that it was like impossible to get anything. I think even Pelotons were like exploding in popularity because everybody like wanted to buy them. So if you got one, it was like a huge deal because they were like crazy waitlisted.
Yep.
And anyway, so I've been through iteration after iteration after iteration. I've put a rock climbing wall in my attic. I have put like a weight room in my attic and then realized that having weights in the top floor of your house is moderately not good for the house.
Don't want to drop those and have them go plummeting through the floor.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right. We've done all of like the Murf workouts out of like my basement. It's like I've tried so many different things and so few things I feel like ever stick. And obviously I'm still only like a month into this particular endeavor. So it's entirely possible that it will become the most expensive clothes rack ever, as some Pelotons do.
Well, hopefully not.
Yeah. Hopefully not. But yeah, so I've been going down sort of similar to your like every day in the month of May type of situation, but just every night after I put Addie down for bed, I will just go downstairs and do a Peloton workout.
Nice.
And goodness gracious, it is so much harder than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I don't know what I anticipated, but like I sat down for my first lesson. I took like a before and after picture of just like my face just to be like, I wonder what'll happen. And dude, I mean, it literally looked like I had just gotten like done having norovirus.
Right.
Like I was drenched
in
sweat. Like my like lips were like chapped. My face looked like it was drooping. Like, you know, everything. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I was like, that was hard, but also kind of fun.
Right.
And so, because that's the other thing too, is like, I don't usually sweat. I don't sweat nearly enough. Like when I'm doing exercise.
Right.
And a lot of times, like I want to sweat.
Right.
Because it's like being
makes you feel like you're getting something done.
It is like the physical proof that like effort is being.
Yes. Expelled. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. So I think that I've like really enjoyed sweating.
Yeah.
Which has been an excellent experience. But I think the thing that sort of like finally like clicked into gear with me a little bit, the calories, was I got to the end of like my first workout and it was like, you burned 330 calories in today's, you know, whatever. And I was like, man, 330, that doesn't seem like that many. But then like I did it every day for a week. And at the end of the week, it was like, you've burned 4,000 calories this week. And I was like, 4,000 calories. It's like, that's the same as like a day and 3/4 worth of meals.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And it was like, oh, and like all of a sudden I was kind of like, okay. I sort of get it. Like these, like what felt like small amounts on the daily. Cause you know, I think I've talked about this before too. I had a Clif bar every day.
Right.
Like I've eaten so many Clif Bars in my life. I don't even particularly like them. It's just a very convenient, very easy, mildly nutritious adjacent breakfast that I can like grab and go with.
Right. You've got some calories. Boom.
I got some calories. Yeah. So a Clif Bar is 250 calories.
Right.
So it's like sometimes like when I got done with the bike ride and it was like you burned 300 calories, you're like, well, that burns my Clif Bar off for the day. Like,
right.
That was my like one half meal, you know?
Right.
Like it barely even counts towards, you know, a day's total. But a typical calorie intake for someone of my size, I think is like 2,000-ish calories.
Right. Sure.
100. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I was just like, this is crazy. I can start to see where you would get very fit very fast if you're effectively at the end of the week eliminating 2 days worth of eating.
Right. Yeah. Like it does build up. Like I've thought of the, like, you know, I think about that sometimes with like push-ups or something. Like if you did like 20 push-ups a day or something, it's right. Like, is that many push-ups? It's like, nope, not really. But at the end of the week, you'd have done 100 push-ups, you right. know, and it'd be like, or if you know, if you go the full 7 days, it's 120 or 140 push-ups.
Right.
And it's just like, well, guess what though? That's 140 more push-ups than you did if you did none. And true. It's like, yes. You know, it's like, does that, like, if you do that for a month, it's like, guess what? You did 500, but you know, push-ups thereabouts.
Right.
And it's like, that's 500 more push-ups than you would have done if you hadn't done any. It's like, that counts for something, you know?
Yes. Yes. Right. Like, or even if you get to the end of the year and you're like, I did 6,000 push-ups this year. It's like, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, right? It's like 6,000. That didn't do nothing for you.
Right.
Like you might not be like shredded, but it's like, like the difference between someone who did 0 push-ups this year and someone who did 6,000 push-ups this year is probably different.
It's probably different.
You're probably a little bit stronger or a lot. I don't know at that point, you know?
Well, and that's the other thing too that I think is really interesting is that like when I started doing the Peloton rides, there's what I thought was kind of fascinating about it is that like when you're out in the real world, when you are climbing it, like you will usually come out of the saddle, like you will stand up on the pedals and start pedaling up the hill.
Yeah.
So I would typically associate standing with a much more challenging cycling experience. And I think what was really tripping me up when I first started doing the Peloton is that like when I stand, I feel way stronger.
Right.
But it's when you're seated, when your butt is in the seat.
Yeah.
That everything is like really difficult. And the little trainers, I mean, goodness gracious, I talked about it with like the ice baths,
yeah,
where like just simply having somebody there, like Alice looking at me being like, you are okay, you are safe, everything is fine, you can do this, just breathe, like it makes a difference. And having the trainer on the thing, like a lot of times I'm like, all right guys, here we go, yes you can, yes you can, like they know, like when your mind is going to say like, I'm too tired.
Yeah. It's like reach down add one more, yes you can, you're like, okay,
all right, fine,
I'll do it. Exactly. I know. It's like they do not seem to know exactly where like the tension points are going to be.
Yes. Yeah. And that's that has been really interesting because I think I've done 19 rides so far, but like it's been really interesting to me to see like how when I first started hearing them say that, they're like, you just got to keep going. You just got to keep going. Like you will get stronger. And I was like, no, I won't. I won't get stronger ever. And I'm always going to feel miserable. And like last night I was doing one of the workouts and I was like, I do feel stronger.
Hey,
how about that?
What do you know?
And like, I'm like laying on the couch, like, you know, like we're watching the Outdoor Boys YouTube channel,
yeah,
as me and Alice do. And I'm like stretching my legs forward, just like stretching. And then like, I like reach down and like touch my quad. And I was like, it's stronger.
Muscles.
It's like, it feels harder. I can feel the difference.
That's so funny, man. So you notice like a physical change in yourself.
Well, I am too terrified to ever look at myself in the mirror.
Really?
That's a truth fact.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't at all. I even have like a mirror shower that I use to shave. And there's actually there's a weird thing about my shower, but it has a window. And so on the windowsill, I will literally take the non-steam mirror and I will set it at such an angle that like even like when I shave my face, I don't have to look at my torso. Oh,
I see.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like a thing.
Wow.
But, yeah. Same thing. I even have like a full length mirror in my bedroom. So like I'll go in and I'll go to like get changed or whatever and I will turn my back to it.
Wow. That is interesting.
Yeah. Do not look at it.
Okay. I have a spot in my bedroom where I noticed one day that I was like, ooh, I really like the specific lighting in this spot as per how, like, I get like a good view of myself.
Okay. So okay.
Typically, like, when I wake up, I will go stand in that spot with those lights on and examine to see, like, do I look any different?
You're like,
or anything. Because, like, once I start eating food, it's like, well, yeah.
All bets are off.
Then you're just like, your body's changing shape all day. But, like, right when you wake up, boom, that's, you've got nothing in you. You've done all the digesting you're going to do. You've got the workout from the day before working. And yeah.
So. You're your most shredly.
Yeah, that's what I feel like is the time.
Okay.
So that's my spot.
That's my spot. Yeah. I do think having a spot is helpful.
Yeah. Not that I avoid it at other points or anything.
Sure. Yes, sure. Yeah. 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 Well, that's good. That's good. So, yeah. But you've been swimming a lot.
I've been swimming a bunch. Yes. And similarly, I would say last week, I feel like I crossed like a new threshold or so.
Okay.
Where to that point, I had basically just been going in and kind of doing like 50s, just down and back. And then I would like rest for like 30 seconds and then go again. And just because I would, you know, I'd get to the end and be like, oh man, like I'm tired. I feel like because it's like me recovering from the kind of swimming we used to do as kids where I would get to the end and I always feel so exhausted and someone would be like, go again. And you're like, I can't breathe, you know.
And they're like, you breathe when you're dead.
And exactly. And you're like, I want it to feel enjoyable and like I'm not dying. So I'm just going to go down and back. And if I want to recover, then I will. And I'll go again. I'm not going to not go. I'm going to do it when I'm there. But of course, I'm also training for the triathlon. So I do need to be able to swim continuously for more than 50 meters at a time. You know, once you're out in the lake, you're not going to get 50 meters and be like, all right, let me just chill for a sec here. So
that's a good point. Yeah. When you're in the lake, you don't get the turns.
Yeah. I've considered that as well, because one of the things when you're swimming in a pool is that every 25 meters, you'll run into the wall, obviously. And that means, you know, you get to turn around and push off of the wall.
Right.
And the push off the wall is very nice because you can, you know, you can regain all of your speed. You can be very strong from that position.
Right.
Getting to use the wall. But of course, in the lake, you won't have that. You'll just be out in the open water, just swimming at your leisure in, you know, or surrounded by other people kicking and stuff around you. So
that's the thing that I think worries me the most. Yeah. It's just like, it's just the, like so many other people also like kicking and splashing.
I know. It does feel like the start could be a little dicey.
Yeah,
for sure. But I was like, I need to go in and just go for 100 instead. Just go down and back twice instead. Just, you know, because then I think about that stuff too. I'm like, well, it was annoying. I used to like dread how little rest time I would get at swim practice.
Uh-huh.
But at the same rate, I could think back and be like, yeah, but you could swim for a greater distance at that time. You know, even though the rest didn't feel good, you could go longer distances. So you're going to have to. So just get in there and just maybe this week, this practice, you'll go for a little bit longer each time and we'll just start working up. But I got to the end and I had literally, as I was driving to the pool the entire way there, I was like, okay, just go slower. Just, I like had to like ingrain it into myself, because I think the other thing about doing like down and back, like a 50, is that you know you're going to get the recovery, so you can push it a little bit harder.
True.
And then when you get up, then when you stop, of course, you're like more out of breath. Like, just go slower. You don't have to rush it. Just go at a regular pace. And even as I'm like in the pool, I'm like, go slower. And then I started going and I got to the 100 meter mark and I was like, I think I can keep going. And I got to like, you know, 150, 200, 300. And then I was like, every time I would get down there, I'd be like, can I keep going? I can keep going. And I got to the point where I got the full distance. I got to like the full 800 meters and I was like, oh my God, I did it. You know,
look at you go.
I know. And then I felt amazing. I was like, man, look at this. Like, I wasn't even tired at the end, you know, so that was really cool. And then I repeated it later in the week. And it was like, I don't know if I could have done that right out of the gate, but I felt like I had done enough on my own to get to a spot where I could go for longer swims again.
I feel like the really good thing about sharing stuff like this, though, is that like it's so often when you're like at the gym or like even, you know, out shooting hoops at like a public court or doing anything of the sort. It's so easy to show up and feel like everybody else there has it all figured out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, It would also be hilarious. This feels like a very like Black Mirror-esque kind of thing. But like if you could see like little like thought bubbles coming out of everybody and see everybody's own little like weird insecurities or like, you know, self-talk or whatever they're going through on that particular day. It's like everybody has this facade as if they're like so good. But I bet internally there's so much more going on.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there is. There has to be. So then even this morning, there's what they call like a master's class or whatever, which is just, you know, they have someone there who puts together a workout and then will like sort of coach you and like the whole group through it.
Okay.
And like our mom does it. So she keeps telling me like, I should go to it. I should try it. And so this morning I decided I was going to go for it. And even then that was I think it was like a 2,300 meter total workout. By the time you were done.
So quite a bit.
So quite a bit more, like almost like three times as far, really. But I got in there and I could do that too. And it was like, but I was like very proud of myself for going in and getting just enough reps in to like get back up to speed.
Right.
As it were, like in getting there on my own. And then I don't know if I'll keep doing the master's class or anything, but it was like a good feeling. And then I will say last week. So do you remember on Supercarlin Gaming when we were, we do gaming with patrons each month.
Yes.
And we had a guy on for a while named, Aiden.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember him talking about how he had gotten back into swimming. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah. Yes. He's like, you gotta do it. Nothing better.
I know. And he would talk about it. Like he would just go in there and just swim for, I don't even know how long. It sounded like forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, I can just zone out and just like think and just as clear. And like, I remember going the first few times to the pool and doing that and being like, man, Aiden, I can't wait for this to start happening. Cause I'll tell you what, that's not my experience at all.
Cause
presently I'm tired, you know,
but you're starting to get there.
But last week, yeah, when I was doing like the long swim and just going, so I was like, I'm starting to get it. Like you really can just like zone out and you get to the other end and you're like, what's one more length? You know, I can go back down. I can go back down. I'm not that bad right now. And you can just kind of keep going.
Just keep going.
So that was, it was good. So I was thinking of that when I was swimming. Like I was remembering him talking about it. So.
Well, Aiden used to listen to the pop at the very
Well, hopefully so, he still does.
Hopefully, yeah, yeah.
Your words have had impact, sir.
I know. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. I feel like it happens all the time. It's like you go out into the world, you meet people who are on like the other side and like the smallest of exchanges, it is remarkable how much they genuinely stick with you.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's really cool. So how about that?
There you go.
Look at you go. Yay. I am proud of you though.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Same to you on the Peloton.
Thanks. I'm doing my best over there.
Excellent.
We got one more transition.
Let's do it.
Jay, let's talk about necks.
Necks?
Necks.
Like the thing that holds your head up?
The thing that holds your head up.
Okay. All right. What do you got to say about necks, Ben?
I feel like this has become such a running gag in our office, and it is so funny how often it comes up.
It is.
Okay. So here's my backstory is that while we were doing our first leg of tour, we were out in New York City, and we had already been out on the road for a few days, and we had gone and done like a full, like classic New York City day, complete with all the, you know, moving about and sightseeing and shopping and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm on the subway on the way back to our Airbnb, which was out in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yes. And while I'm on the subway, I was like, God, my neck muscles are so tired. And I feel like it sparked this huge conversation about like whether or not your neck can be tired or whether, I mean, like it does have muscles. But and like now that like even like when I look back on this conversation, I can't even remember what the opposing side of this argument was.
I want to say someone was like, there's no such thing as neck muscles.
It does feel like that's what happened.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I heard too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to throw him under the bus.
Right.
Or the subway, so to speak.
Throw them under the subway, yeah.
But I think it was Isabel.
Yeah.
Who edits the pop. I can already mentally see her like shaking her fist at me
as
she's editing this episode. But yeah, so we had this like whole back and forth. And the funny thing is that like when I went back to like way early on in Super Carlin Brothers, I got reached out to by like a protein company provider or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me, it was called Isopure. They wanted me to do like an Instagram sponsorship. And I was actually super stoked because Isopure actually is super good. It's like
really good protein powder.
It's really good protein powder. It's like if you think of protein powder as like being like very like creamy, sort of like, you know, like the Muscle Milk,
yeah,
you know, that type of thing. This is more of like a Gatorade-esque like fruit flavored version of it, which is nice and super refreshing. But I was excited. So we went down to our friend had a gym, so we went in, we like did this whole, like whole photo shoot and everything. And while we were down in there, I remember like there was this like one shot that we took of me like drinking from like the Isopure blender bottle. And when we posted it, I remember somebody commenting on my neck.
Oh, wow.
And I even remember back then thinking like, that was an unusual compliment, but right. But thank you.
Thanks.
So anyway, fast forward to the present, and like we had this whole conversation about necks, and then Wicked comes out in theaters, which we've talked about a lot. We absolutely loved
it.
And in particular, I think one of the things I kept bringing up was like, Ariana Grande, whenever she's doing like her like operatic singing, which I don't even know if that's the right word, when she's singing like more of like opera tones,
yeah,
her she has a very impressive neck.
Impressive neck.
And I mean, she's a phenomenal singer,
yes,
obviously. So mm-hmm. It's like it wouldn't surprise me if this is somebody who has strength of neck.
Strength of neck.
Yeah. But then I feel like it's come even one step further still because I've like gotten into F1 racing, which with Ethan here in office is also into, and you've gotten into, I think, sort of by proxy.
You guys talk about it so much, and I know that it's becoming like a really big thing, and I don't even know if I'm like trying to get into it, but I feel like if I'm watching it, I'm like kind of supporting you in a way.
Yes, yes. You know, I mean, like, that's literally over the weekend you texted me and you were like, have you watched the Japanese Grand Prix yet? And like, I told Alice that you asked me and she was like, it is so sweet that he asked that.
Yeah. Like, well, I wanted to make sure. I thought you must have, but I didn't want to be like, oh man, Max gets the win.
I know.
and then ruin it for you.
Like, aw.
I'm like, what? I mean, great, but aw.
I'm a Max Verstappen fan in case anybody's wondering. But the funny thing about F1 drivers in particular is that the amount of G-force that they are experiencing as they go around the track mm-hmm. is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And so the end result is that these guys, like if you've ever watched the Netflix like behind the scenes docuseries for it, which is called Drive to Survive, which is really good and a great gateway to the sport. That's how me and Alice ended up really liking it. You'll see that they're oftentimes literally doing neck workouts. And then when you really start to pay attention, you start to realize that they're like, they have very, very strong necks.
Like very thick necks.
Very thick necks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, and then in addition to that, I feel like many of the F1 drivers are just rather beautiful human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, you know, as Ethan and I have discussed it quite a bit, we've pulled up pictures of them and pointed them all out. And I feel like all of a sudden everybody's very dialed in. On the necks.
What's their neck like?
What's their neck like?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have no idea if it's like a thing. Like sometimes, like when I was in like elementary school and like our family got into Pokemon and like you like went to school and like everybody else kind of started to be into Pokemon. And I was like, yeah, but I liked it first. All of you guys were finding it after me.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that's how I'm like wondering if it's like, is this necks?
You think
like,
you're a neck muscle hipster?
I think this is, like, I mean, and not that I'm like a connoisseur necessarily. I mean, you know, but like,
this is the most niche thing you've ever been into.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been doing neck muscle workouts?
I haven't been doing neck muscle workouts. However, I also think that I have been doing neck muscle workouts my whole life without realizing it. Like, have you ever had one of those instances? And I'll do it right now for you guys. Somebody will remind you to loosen the tension in your jaw.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I didn't even realize I had tension in my jaw.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like, oh, it feels a little bit better. It feels a little bit better. Okay. Well, when I sit on my couch every single night, I will sit there with my head tilted back watching the TV, which is mounted over like our fireplace, like mantle thing. And so often it'll be the case that we'll have been watching like a movie for like an hour and a half. And like Alice will like reach forward, touch my forehead and pull it back 2 inches.
Wow.
Into the couch. And it's like, I've been sitting there holding my neck up unsupported for an hour plus.
Right.
And it's like, and then I'll put my neck back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's way better. And I'm like, okay, maybe unbeknownst to myself, I've been doing this.
You've been doing net workouts.
I blame you for it.
Me?
Yeah.
Why is it my fault?
Well, here's the reason why. Yeah. I'm so glad that you asked. When we were kids, we had a living room, right?
We did.
You remember the configuration of the living room?
Yes.
You remember where your chair was?
Yeah, right. Yes, I do.
It was the best chair.
Yeah. Well,
it had the best view.
I guess so.
And back then our TV was like 27 inches. And because
full
like,
screen.
Full screen. Yeah. It was like one of like the really big, like, I don't even know, CRT, is that a thing?
I don't know.
It's the one that had like the giant like tube thing in it. However, the thing was is that there was like one chair that was positioned close to the TV that you could sit in at this like sideways angle and drape your feet over like,
yeah, it was like an armchair, but I was like a small kid, so I could lay in it sideways and like the one armrest would fit underneath my knees and my neck would rest against the other armrest.
Yeah, it would. And then next to it was a matching chair that really didn't face the TV at all.
So yeah, because they both faced the middle of the room.
Yeah, for like sitting purposes, yeah, for visiting.
Which no one ever did.
No one ever sat in that chair because it didn't face the TV.
It didn't face the TV.
Yeah, so nobody ever sat in that chair. And then all the way against the back wall was the couch.
Yeah.
But the couch was so far away from the TV that you couldn't realistically sit back there and like watch it that well. You know, I mean, it was like, that'd be like ridiculous. So you want to know what I would do?
What would you do?
I would lay on the floor with my elbows back like this and I'd hold my neck up. just stare at the TV.
It could have gotten like a pillow or something.
Could have.
But didn't. Instead, look at your neck muscles now, Ben.
My neck muscles. I've come so far.
I bet if we went back into that house and we examined how far away the couch was from the front of the room, it would be like not far at all.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Like, I bet it was like 8 feet or something.
Yeah, right. Yes. It's like, yeah. It's like, in my mind, you're right. That room was massive, but like, there's no way.
There's no way. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like we didn't like watch movies from that couch at night, but I feel like when it was nighttime and like the TV seemed like brighter, you know, like in comparison, like in like the dark room.
The room was shorter at night.
The room was shorter. It worked better.
Yeah,
at night.
I know. I used to wake up at like 6 a.m. and go downstairs to watch Pokemon on TV, and I always just lay on the couch and watch from there.
So, what?
Yeah,
you laid on the couch.
Yeah, we lay on the couch then, because I was still pretty tired because it was 6 a.m. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. So I could, if I gotten up at 6, I could have used your chair.
I guess so. Yeah.
Or do you think if I was down there, you would have taken your chair?
I don't think so. I probably wanted the couch because I wanted to lay down with like a blanket. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Yeah.
That's a
wicked reference.
That's a wicked reference.
That movie and that show has just like infiltrated so many little isms. Now, anytime anyone says, I know, it's like, I know.
Yeah. It's like, and every single time I feel like the person like takes like one split second to like catch on and be like, I know what you're doing. And you know what? I'm good with it.
We're good.
This right now, it's working.
Yes. There's the I know. And then she also does it on, or she also says,
Exactly.
In a very like breathy, I know exactly.
Exactly.
It's the very next line. It's like, I know. Exactly. And so now anytime anyone says exactly, someone will repeat it
breathily
in the breathy voice.
Yes.
And then anytime anyone says right, someone will also repeat it with the right. So the song Popular has a lot of Ariana Grande-isms that have infiltrated our life, because Exactly and Right and I Know are three extremely common things anyone might say.
Yeah. Wicked Part 2's got a lot to live up to.
It does have a lot. Yes. Yeah. I'm very excited about it.
Same. Yeah. I mean, all it can do is I'm just excited for it to impress me.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Yes.
All right.
I don't feel like I have any doubt. I'm not like worried at all that like my expectations are too high.
Yeah.
You know?
Man. Well, you know what, Jay? I think I've made it to an hour. So we're going to have to wait until next week to talk about Japan.
Oh, I guess we'll have to wait until next week to talk about Japan. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.